Our message series is called Lord, Make My Life Count. Make my life meaningful, that is, make my life purposeful. Lord, make my life count both now and for eternity. So far we have looked at make your work count and also make your rest count. And today we will be looking at make your faith count. Everyone believes in something. There are different beliefs in the world, but everyone believes in something. Even non-religious people have a deeply held set of beliefs about the world around them. An American multi-instrumentalist musician, who is himself also an atheist, said this: "Everybody believes in something, and everybody, by virtue of the fact that they believe in something, uses that something to support their own existence." I will add that there's no true form of atheism. There's no true form of atheism. Everyone believes in something. So in the world with so many choices, where do you turn? They can't all be correct. So how do you know what to believe in? What do you believe about God and the world is vitally important, because what you believe has a direct impact on the actions and decisions you make in this life. How sad if you got all the way to the end of your life and found out that you had based all your actions on a belief that wasn't even true. So if you have to believe in something, which everybody does, you better make your faith count. And that's what today's message is all about. Today we will look at five principles that will help you make your faith count, not only for this world, but for all of eternity. So first of all, what is faith? Faith means trust. Faith means trust. Now we see this in the classic definition of faith we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." What does that mean? Faith means trusting what you can't readily see. Now, it does not mean that it is not there, but not readily be seen. So if I told you that I have a $50 bills in my pocket, would you have believed me? All right? Some of you say yes, some of you say no. No? No? Well, I happened to be out of $50 note in my pocket. I was supposed to bring a $50 note for illustration. I forgot, really. So, you know, some would say, yes, oh, that's faith. But if I had a $50 note in my pocket, then you have faith in me, all right? He just couldn't see it yet, all right? So faith is different from superstition, okay? Or a blind faith, which suggests to believe in something without any substance or any real basis, right? Our basis is the Bible. We have a firm foundation, which is the Word of God, infallible and inerrant. So our faith is not blind. It's not superstition. So if anybody tells you, "Oh, you Christians are very superstitious," I say, no, our faith has a basis. Has a firm foundation. It is based on the Word of God. So, let me illustrate again what this means. Okay? Now, the woman who trusts her husband doesn't follow him around everywhere and check all his phone records and read all his emails and track him with a GPS device. And some wives do, I know. You know, why? Because she doesn't have to see it in order to believe. She trusts him. And faith means trust. Faith means trust. It is the same when we talk about having faith in God. Having faith in God doesn't simply mean believing that He exists. A lot of people believe that God exists. But having faith in God means trusting Him. You trust His character and His attributes. You trust His promises. You trust His Word, which is again infallible and inerrant. Faith involves three elements: knowledge, assent, and trust. Some of you the other day asked me, what does it mean to believe? Well, it means to having faith in God. And what is faith then? Well, faith involves three elements: knowledge, assent, and trust. Knowledge is important because you have to know something before you can believe it. So it's not a blind faith. So it's not a leap of faith. It is not believing without any basis. All right? So, and we get our knowledge from the Word of God. So it is important. You need to know something before you can believe it. But that's the first thing only. Assent is important. Because you must agree, assent is another word for agree, with what you know before you can believe it. So you know something, and now you agree that it is true. Right? But that is not enough yet. So you have knowledge and assent. Finally, it is not real faith until you take the final step, which is trust. Right, which is trust. Now, I'll give you an illustration. One Sunday school teacher asked the children if they believe that he, the Sunday school teacher, himself existed. Of course, the Sunday school teacher is standing right in front of them. Of course, and they all said, yes. And that's knowledge. Right. And then he asked them if they believe he could catch them if they fall. They said, yes, I believe. Yeah? Okay, so you have the knowledge. Then you agree that the Sunday school teacher can really catch you if you fall. That's agreement, that's an assent. But they didn't really exercise real faith until they showed their trust by actually falling back into his arm. Right? In some action movies that I watched, the male lead actor sometimes will say to the female lead actress, do you trust me? And then if the actress said yes, and then the actress said, then jump, I'll catch you. Yeah? This line is in a lot of movies. Of course, sometimes the lady said, no, I don't trust you. Right? But anyway, no choice. You still have to jump because you're in danger. It's the same way with believing in God. In God, it is good to believe that God exists. That's knowledge. And a lot of people have that knowledge. I don't know. I don't have a figure. Almost all of the people in this world have that knowledge that God exists or some kind of God exists. And it's good to agree that God's word is true. A lot of people say, yes, I believe the Bible is true, but I just can't follow it. I just don't want to, you know, follow it through. But until you trust Him, or until you fall into His arms and rest completely in Him, then you do not truly have faith in God. So that's our first principle this afternoon. Do you want to make your faith in God count? Then understand that faith means trust. If you truly have faith in God, then you will trust Him with your life. You will trust Him with your life. Secondly, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says, Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, or He exists, right? And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Friends, you cannot please God without faith. It is impossible. You can try. You can try and live a perfect life, which you can't, unfortunately. Nobody can. Even after you become a Christian, you can't live a perfect life. We all sin, right? That's why we all need to ask the Lord to forgive us our sins. You can try to do all the right things, which is also impossible. Right? As a father, every day I try to do the right things, but every day I fail. But I'm trying. I'm trying to do my best. You can be in church every morning, afternoon, evening, in your knees, every night on the bed. And if you do not have faith in God, you cannot possibly please God. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? The rest of the verse in verse 6, chapter 11, tells us. Because he says, because anyone who comes to Him must believe, right, that He is, or He exists, and that He is a rewarder, or He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. First, in order to please God, you must believe that God exists. But that's only the first step. That makes sense, doesn't it? It would be hard to please God if you didn't even believe that He exists. But know this, this is much more than just believing that there is a God. There are many Christian cults or sects believe that Jesus is a God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, or the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Well, nowadays, they prefer to be called Christians like us. They don't want to be called Mormons anymore. They say, call us Christians, although we are Mormons. All right. We're still called the Mormons. And or the Christadelphians, who is very similar to Jehovah's Witnesses, who believe that Jesus is not fully God, and so on and so forth. But they do not believe that Jesus is God Himself. They only believe that Jesus is a God. He was formerly an angel, or He was whatever. And that is not enough. That is not enough to please God. Therefore, it is not enough to believe in a general existence of God. Nowadays, if you hear any politicians, they will say, God bless you, God bless him, whatever, let us pray to God, whatever. Sometimes I'm not sure which God they're referring to, you know. They are happy to join it in the ecumenical service, which all religions combines together in worship. So I'm not really sure which God they're referring to now. They're only referring to a general existence of God, some kind of God out there, you know. So you need to believe that God Himself exists, and He is the one and only God, and that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. He's the only one. He's the only way, and there's no other way. Like a marriage, Christianity is more than a religion. Christianity is more like a relationship. Let me illustrate this again with illustration. I'm probably not going to have a good relationship with my wife, Susan, if I don't believe that she exists. Right? If I ignore her existence. And it's not enough if I believe in the general sense that there's such a thing as a wife. Okay, there's something called wife that exists. Can I please her with that knowledge? That I believe that there's something called wife that exists. No, I need to believe that she exists. My Susan exists. And know her. And love her. As my one and only wife. Yeah? Okay? Now, some of you who are married or going to get married, you know what I'm talking about. All right? In the same way, you need to believe that God Himself exists. It is not enough simply to believe that there is a God out there somewhere in the universe. You need to believe in Him, the one and only God who has revealed to us in the Bible. So, not only that you must believe that God exists, you must believe that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. So believe that God exists, that's only knowledge. Believe that He rewards those who seek Him, that's trust. Faith means trust. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thirdly, faith must be in Jesus Christ. It must be in the right person. You don't place your faith in someone else. Something else. That must be in Christ Jesus alone. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name." That's Jesus Christ. "Under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. The God of the Bible has revealed Himself to us through the history of God's people in the Old Testament, and through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament." That's the difference between the old and the new. Right? And it's all about one person that is called Jesus Christ. The entire Bible is all about Him. From first page to the last page. And the testimony of the scripture is clear. If you want your faith to count, your faith must be in Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12 is a powerful statement. So I want to make sure that you understand what it means. The Bible says, "Neither is salvation in any other." It literally means salvation is found only in Jesus Christ and no one else. And that means you will not find salvation in any human religion. Some say there are 21 major religions in this world, with many other smaller groupings, subgroupings, and offshoots. You will not find salvation in any of them except through Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you must come to this church to get salvation, right? There are many Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, God-fearing, God-worshipping churches that you can go to, and they preach the gospel, right? And you will receive salvation by hearing the gospel preached. Okay? So I'm not saying that we are the only church on the planet Earth that preach the gospel. Right? But that is not to say that I'm also not saying that you cannot find some elements of truth regarding how to be a better human beings or how to be a decent person in other religions. In fact, it is all that it's about, to be a good person, to be a decent person. Oh, to be a good person, decent person. So hopefully that you can go to heaven one day. That's all the other religions are so about. So they teach human beings to be good and kind. So you will be surprised. I'm sure you're not surprised. You will find many decent human beings who believe in other religions, who are Buddhist, who are Muslims, right? But unfortunately, if they deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven, he's the only mediator, he's the Son of God who died for us on the cross, they cannot go to heaven, no matter how decent they are. But they are good people. Yeah, at least according to their own standard. So salvation is found only in Jesus Christ, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. 1 John chapter 5 puts it very simply and clearly in verse 11 to verse 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, period. Right? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Bible cannot be more clear than this. You need to have the Son of God. You need to believe in the Son of God. So dear friends, eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, then you have eternal life. And if you don't, you do not have eternal life. The Bible is very clear. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So faith must be in Jesus Christ alone. No one else. So faith means trust, first of all. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thirdly, faith must be in Jesus Christ. Fourthly, faith alone saves. Faith alone saves. This is one of the most precious teachings of the entire Bible. Faith alone saves. Now look at Romans chapter 4 with me, if you can. If not, you can just look up. The writer, Paul, the apostle Paul, says, now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And in verse 5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now let us look at the first part of verse, this passage, which is verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. The idea here is that one can only be saved by the grace of God. And the word grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That means something you didn't work for, like a gift. If you had to work for your salvation, Paul says, it wouldn't be called grace. It is called a debt. Or a wage that is owed to you because you work for it. But Paul says, no, no, you can't work for it. Salvation is totally of grace. Now you see, for those of you who are working or who have worked before, you don't write to your boss a thank you card and say, dear boss, thank you so much for my wage this week. That was so thoughtful of you. Thank you for your kindness. And I really appreciate it. You know, so, well, no, that would be silly. Your wage is not a gift. You earn it. Yeah? And Paul says, no, you can't be saved by earning it. It is the grace of God. It is a gift. that the Word of God says salvation is not something you earn by your works. Well, even if you want to, the Bible says your work, well, it's not good enough. It's never good enough. In fact, nobody's work is good enough. The Bible says all our righteousness are a filthy rags. So filthy, I can't even explain to you the origin of this phrase, filthy rags. Okay. You get to find it out from the commentary. And if there's anything that we deserve to receive as wages, the Bible says that it is, will be something called death. That is something that we deserve as wages, because the wages of sin is death. And the Bible also said, all have sinned and come short of glory of God. Right? So nobody can say, I have not sinned. Well, if you have sinned, and your wages is death. So how can one be saved? How can one become righteous so that he or she may go to heaven? The answer is, you need to be counted righteous by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how? By placing your faith in Him. Now you will notice that there are two words in this passage that are pretty similar in meaning. One is the word called reckon. The other word is called counted. And if you're right to assume that these two words are actually the same word in the original, right? The word reckon and counted in verse 5 and verse 4 are the same word in Hebrew called logizomai. And it is transliterated in English as logizomai, logizomai. Now what does this word mean? Logizomai is a mathematics and accounting term. That it describes what a bookkeeper would do, adding and subtracting, adding and subtracting, adding and subtracting, calculating the sum and entering the sum into the correct amount, which I hate. I don't like accounting. Okay. But it is a precious word, right? That's the word reckon or count. So, what does this word or these two words has anything to do with our salvation, you say? Well, that means that when God sees a person's faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, an exchange takes place in that person's account with God. God places the believer's guilt on Jesus, upon His shoulder, whose death on the cross paid the penalty for the believer's sin, past, present, and future, and allow God to cancel the believer's debt of guilt. On the basis of these facts, God reckons or counts or logizomai, the believer free of sin's penalty and misery. Because God reckons or counts the individuals righteous by transferring Jesus' righteousness to the believer's account. You don't actually have it. It is by imputation. That righteousness is attributed to you. That's why I say it is a counting term. So bear in mind that it is Jesus who earned the perfect righteousness from His obedience. which some theologians call active obedience of Christ. Not us. We didn't earn it. God simply credits His righteousness upon all those who believe in Him. And all those who believe in Him only. Right? So, dear friends, salvation is the free gift of God, and it can only be received by faith, not by works. You can be the best person in this world, and the cutest, and the loveliest, and the kindest, and the most gentlest persons, and you can be the greatest religious workers of anyone in history, and unfortunately, your works will not contribute one speck toward your salvation. So fifthly and lastly, faith that saves is not alone. Faith that saves is not alone. I'm going to explain what it means. Although you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but your faith should not stand alone. I'm not saying that you should add to your faith. All right? I'm telling you that something must come out of your real faith and genuine faith to God as fruit. You see? And let me explain what I meant. And it is best that we turn to the scriptures. We saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, that faith alone saves, and that is true. But then we go on to read in verse 10, and the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created," and the key word there is in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should work in them. What does that mean? That means God has called us to do good works after we have been saved by grace through faith. But not before we are saved, but after. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, does not say that we are all created unto good works. No, he said, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means you have to be in Christ Jesus first, and after that you do good works. But you can only be in Christ Jesus by grace through faith. You cannot earn it. In other words, faith in Christ comes first. And when you put your faith in Christ for salvation, you become a Christian. Because you are in Him. If you are in Him, you are a new creation. The old things have passed away and everything becomes new. That all happens by having faith in Christ Jesus. That means to believe in Him as the Son of God who died for the sins of mankind. If you believe in Jesus today, you are a new creation and God has work for you to do. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And those good works are necessary outgrowth of your faith. All right? So think of your Christian life as a tree and fruit as your works. If you have faith in God and your faith is genuine, it will produce fruit. Produce fruit. Like that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16, 17, and 20, "You shall know them by their fruit." And 17 says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit," and that's works. "But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Wherefore, by the fruit ye shall know them. So how can you be a Christian? Or how can you be saved? You can be saved by faith, by having faith in Jesus Christ alone, and only in Jesus Christ. How do you know that you're saved? Because your life will show it, and people will see it. People will see your life and say, aha, I sincerely believe that he is a Christian because he is different. You know, he's just different. He behaves just like the Lord that he says that he believes, Jesus Christ. So faith alone saves. Faith will produce fruit, which is good works. But then again, please don't get the order wrong. Don't place good works above or before faith. And do not think, my friends, that faith that works will save you. Faith does. If you have genuine faith in Christ Jesus, you will produce fruit as evidence of your faith. Okay? So, dear friends, there's no Christianity without Christ. If you go to a church that does not preach Christ, and that's not a church, that's a social club. And there's no Christianity without faith. And if you go to a church that only preach morality, teaches you how to be a good person, a decent person, that is not necessarily wrong, but that they do not preach the gospel. They do not urge the people to have faith in Christ Jesus. They're not preaching the gospel. What is faith then? Once again, faith means trust. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Bible says. And faith must be in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Faith alone saves. Faith that saves is not alone, because your faith must produce fruit, which is the evidence of your faith. So I urge you this afternoon to trust God and believe in Christ. He is the only way to salvation. He is the only way to heaven, and it's the only way to live the Christian life. So make your faith count. Trust in Christ alone for your salvation, and let him make you into a new creation. Let him give you the new purpose and meaning in life. Let us pray.